you're listening to in the mornings, that's, of course, the time you'll hear the Morning Drive with Santita Jackson, 6 to 8 a.m. right here on AM 950. Santita is kind enough to join us today to talk about some of the issues going on in the country right now. Santita, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Oh, Matthew, I'm so honored to be with you.
No, I am actually honored to be with you. You are a bit of a media legend in Chicago. You're already building up a fan base here. I'm actually hearing from listeners as I speak about how much they like you. Santita is amazing. Thank you for having her on in the morning. Thank you for being here. It's so nice for you to be in Minneapolis, St. Paul with us.
I love you all. I love you. Look, I never thought that I'd be in the place where they have the First Avenue Club in Purple Rain. So I'm so excited. Oh. And Chad Larson, you all are just, this is a wonderful family, AM 950 Radio, and I'm so touched to be a part of it.
Oh, it's great to have you on the air because it's just so wonderful to have the diverse range of voices speaking to the people, because it doesn't do us any good just to have, you know, almost one kind of mentality, aka Fox News. But it doesn't have us. We have a variety, and I think that that's such an important element. We have to get you up here. I'm actually hearing from other people, when is she coming to the Twin Cities? So we'll have to get you up here at some point when the coronavirus and the pandemic's all done here.
Well, you know, we'll figure that out very, very soon, because in fact, I've been having, like Pastor Jerry McAfee, on the show, and Spike Moss, who really shaped the programs that helped to shape Prince and Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis and Gary Hines of Sounds of Blackness. So we have a lot of ties, in the Minneapolis St. Paul community that go back, almost 50 years, quite frankly. And so we've been talking, and, Chad Larson and I have been trying to figure out how to get up there. I think we can figure out something very soon. I really do, because I think it's important for us to, while we might be physically distant, we shouldn't be socially distant. And I have to thank the AM 950 radio audience and you, Matthew, for being so embracing of these different perspectives that I've been trying to bring to the Minneapolis St. Paul, and really to progressive radio, right? I mean, because this is more than Minneapolis St. Paul and Chicago and Madison and Milwaukee and Los Angeles, because we have people who are really looking for us in this moment. They're looking to hear, not just because of what's been happening, the challenges facing Minneapolis, St. Paul, because quite frankly, the challenges facing Brooklyn Center and Minneapolis, St. Paul are ones that we feel in Chicago, that we feel in Los Angeles, that we feel in Mobile, that we feel in Atlanta, New York, et cetera, et al. And even I have people who tune in from Brazil, for example, and from different parts of Africa, just because I've reached out, because the progressive movement in the United States and this movement for human rights means so much to everybody everywhere. With all of our challenges, even with those, we are a beacon of light unto the rest of the world. And they're pulling for us to really make it. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. And so we have to keep up the fight. And that's why I really admire the work that you're doing, because it means so much for all of these people to have a voice. And your show gives people that.
And I'm now blushing.
Good, I love it.
We have to talk about what has been going on, because it's been a roller coaster week is an understatement. Yeah, obviously, yeah. The Derek Chauvin verdict, guilty, guilty, guilty. Mm-hmm. Almost immediately after that, we have a murder by another a child in Columbus, Ohio, killed by a cop. Mm-hmm. As that's happening, you're in Chicago. You're dealing with the Adam Toledo story that's down there. Yeah. And of course, then we're still up here dealing with Dante Wright, where we just had the funeral today for Dante Wright. I think one of the things that was interesting from my perspective is as I watched these guilty, 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 and people were happy, there did seem to be an understanding that this is good, this is great, we're getting some justice for George Floyd, but if we're really going to change the system, this is the first step on a very long journey that is ahead of us.
Oh, yes, and the climb is steep. I mean, because we have accountability even more than justice, right? I mean, I think that's what Trayvon Martin's family have been looking for.
Yeah.
Tamir Rice's mother has been looking for accountability. You need someone to be held responsible, and those persons who are responsible need to say, I'm sorry. And so in this moment, A lot of, you know, that's what I think, that's probably, if I may say this, Matthew, this is one of the gifts of this pandemic. So much that has gone undiscussed, so much that we have not wanted to really deal with, we're now being faced with, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think James Baldwin, I don't want to mess up his quote, but, you know, all problems, you cannot, all, you, you know, we all have problems that we've got to face, but nothing can be, can resolve until we face these problems. And that's paraphrasing, and he puts it far more elegantly than I did. You know, when we look at Dante Wright, on a traffic stop, did he have to die? No. Did George Floyd have to die? No. Did Makia have to die?
No.
No. But you know what? I think we've got to expand the conversation, Matthew, because while statistically this is more likely to happen to black and brown people, numerically it happens to more white people. Of course, there are more white people in the United States, but this is an American problem. It's a human problem. And we're going to have to resolve or really deal with how the people we endow with power handle that power. This is a power issue. Of course, racism is in it. Misogyny is in it. All of the isms are in it. But we've got to have a real conversation about power and why we are so quick to kill, Matthew. You know, we have had, since I think I read in the New York Times, April 17th, from March 29th, the day before the start of the Derek Chauvin trial, until April 17th, three police killings per day in the United States. At that point, by the 17th of April, it was up to 64. And the numbers have continued to climb. So, I mean, and when you look at what's happening in Minneapolis, you see that even though blacks are only 19% of the population, last year, 64% of the forceful handlings by police were of black people. But those numbers really have been unchanged in the last year. That number is still at, that percentage is still at 62%. So something is off here, right? And that's racialized. But there's a reason that on 38th in Chicago, you had white people who pulled out their phones, who said, wait, in real time. They said, something is not right here. You can't treat another human being this way. So I see growth. But I also know that because Makia was just killed, because Dante, we were still in the midst of the trial. This young man, barely a young man, who has a child, his child will never see him again. Mm. His child must rely on the reminiscences of his siblings. You now have two parents. You have a family that will never be the same. You have two parents who have broken hearts. You see Dante's parents today at that funeral, it broke my heart. I've got three brothers and a sister. They can drive me crazy, Matthew. We drive each other crazy. And if we got them, if we were all on here right now, that's what we would say. Oh, we can drive each other crazy. But I love them with all of my heart. I cannot imagine while my brother is asking for a car that's not, about a car that's not his, if he calls me and says, hey, where are the insurance papers of, you know, the deed? I've got to prove to them that this is my car. It's not been stolen. Because when black people encounter the police, we also know that it could be deadly. We always do, whether we're male or female. That should not be in the United States. And I think that it's important for this not to be a black problem, for it not to be a black challenge, because it is. Thank you, Theodore Dreiser. It's an American dilemma. Mm-hmm.
Well, what's interesting, and by the way, we talked a lot about the fact when Dante Wright, when that story broke, is that when black people are pulled over, it's, is this your car? When white people get pulled over, it's, do you know what you did there, fella? You know, and there is that difference. And the fact that mere fact that in the state of Minnesota, where they put a hold on renewing registration tabs on cars because of the pandemic, there are thousands of cars running around without their tabs on it. The fact that they would pull someone over under that justification is there. And it brings up an interesting point, because you're right. This is a justice for all issue. But with what you're seeing here in the case of George Floyd is that what the African-American community has been saying for decades, really since the Civil War, is true, that the way that they've been treated is unfair, it's unjust, and it's just plain wrong. We are now getting more and more evidence of that. But the reality is we have a lot of people in power who might not condone what happened to George Floyd or like what happened, but the reality is they like the fact that the police treat certain peoples that way. And until you can cleanse that toxin out of these police departments, I that is where you have to start. You have to go into the police departments and say, are you for justice? Are you for following the law? Or are you for police first, uber alles? And that cannot stand anymore.
Well, you know, we also have to understand the origins of the police. The police started with they're the slave patrol. And so, and what is slavery? Slavery really is about corporate power. You know, black people did not work for free. We were unpaid labor, which is why, you know, we have the reparations discussion today. So they have always protected corporate power. So, you know, and the police have been put in between, a disgruntled, dissatisfied citizenry and the 1%. That was true then. And that's true today. I'm not absolving the police of any responsibility because they do have a toxic culture that needs to be acknowledged and that needs to be dealt with. But the fact is, black people have been saying this for quite some time, that there is a problem here. And now, you know, there's an old expression, Matthew, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Mm-hmm.
I think now America is mature enough to have these conversations because the teacher is here. Makia is here. Mm-hmm. Dante is here. George is here. Tamir is here. Trayvon is here. We can keep on. I mean, I'm so sad that I've got Adam Toledo. I mean, he's 13 years of age. Mm-hmm. He complied. He died. If he did have a gun, he dropped it. In a split second, he drops a gun, allegedly, but he has his hands in there and you shoot him. Why four shots mm-hmm. for Makia? Why not just one? Okay, I've heard some police officers say that a taser would not work in a situation in which they are seeing the employment of or the employing of deadly force. Okay, but four shots?
Yeah, exactly. There's a misunderstanding of what their job is and what that ramp up is, because you can go back to Dante Wright. And by the way, you can Jamar Clark, Philando Castile, Minneapolis itself has got so many. It's unbelievable. But you have this case. OK, so the guy jumps in his car and he drives away. What's the big deal? I mean, it's tabs and an air freshener, for goodness sakes, and a misdemeanor warrant, not a federal a more serious warrant, just a misdemeanor. And, you know, the fact that their automatic response is this gun, you know, the militarization, the warrior training, all this mentality is wrong. I think one of the hardest things that's going to have to happen, though, and I'm going to say this as the white guy. All right. And that is the mentality of a lot of people in America is that we can make change, and they kind of that white savior thing. They want to, you know, mm-hmm. we'll fix this. They fall in love with the movies and stuff like this. The reality is this is one of those cases where what we have learned is that we need to do this all together. Mm-hmm. And frankly, the minority groups who have been telling us the truth the entire time, and now we have copious amounts of evidence of the truth. That they're really – we need to kind of – the white community needs to step back and let them drive, and we go along with them, because the reality is that we can't understand – we can't solve a problem that for the most part, white America just doesn't fundamentally understand.
But, you know, but white America created it. So mm-hmm. white America, quite frankly, I think white America has to drive this.
Mm-hmm.
You can't ask me about racism. I'm on the receiving end of it. There's some fundamental changes that white America, I think that white America is going, white America must make these changes. And I think that particularly young people, they're ready to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you saw these white Americans pull out their cameras. You saw the white EMT come up to the police officers, and she was pleading with them. And you saw when she testified, she was furious. You could see her pain and anger and anguish. almost a year later. So I think that what white people have to do is open your heart, your ear to me, and let me tell you how I feel. You can't tell me how I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
You can't tell me how I'm supposed to react, but you need to listen to and understand my experience, because guess what? I heard Lonnie Guinier, who was nominated to be an assistant attorney general during the Clinton years, brilliant legal scholar. She gave a speech in which she talked about African Americans being the canaries in the mine. And you know, you send the canary down in the mine to see if there's too much gas. And if the canary comes up alive or and well, you know you can send the miners down and to do their work. But if the canary comes back passed out or dead, it's too gaseous. What happens to African Americans, what's happened to the indigenous people, it's happened to us it happens to us first, but eventually it happens to everybody. Mm-hmm. My great grandmother Tibby used to say, you know, it's an old black expression, Matthew, that the old folks used to have. She would have been past, way past 100 had she been living. She would have been about 150 years of age. And she said, you know, when white folk get a cold, she didn't say folks, she said folk. Mm-hmm. When white folk get a cold, black folk get pneumonia. Mm-hmm. But if you don't treat the pneumonia, eventually your cold is going to turn into pneumonia and we're all going to die. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Dr. King spoke to the triplets of militarism, racism, and what's it? Racism, militarism, and classism. These things are going to destroy us. Militarism, racism, classism, these things are destroying us right now. And what I think, what as white people mature, they can understand that, you know, the original idea of our republic did not include the average white person. The unpropertied white man did not have a vote.
Exactly.
So baked in the cake is inequality for everybody. But also baked in the cake is a revolutionary spirit in which we can fight to be included and to make a more perfect union.
I like you said, it's a long journey ahead, but it's a steep hill too. We definitely have a long way to go here, but I think we have enough people now that want to make this change, and I think this change is going to happen. And I'll tell you one thing about young people: Generation Z is done with this crap. They want to change things and change things now. So watch Generation Z. I think they're going to make a lot of changes. Santita Jackson, once again, The Morning Drive, 6 to 8 a.m. I got to get down to Chicago. I love Chicago. I got to get down to visit you.
This is nothing but a word. Now, come on. You need to come on in. We're going to have a good time.
I will promise you. I'll tell you what. We'll get you up into Minneapolis, St. Paul. I'll get down to Chicago by all means, okay?
But I want you to come on my show now, Matthew.
By all means.
You let me know. Now, I'm not going to push you too early. If you come on in the 7 o'clock hour, because I don't want you to dislike me now.
No.
I want you to still love me.
I've got a dog, so I'm up anyway, so no problem. I will. Okay. I would love to be on your show. It would be an absolute privilege. Thank you very much. Santita Jackson, The Morning Drive. Listen to it right here, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8. Santita, you are welcome back on my show anytime. Please do come back.
Invite me, and I'm here.
Thank you. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.